This morning, we find ourselves just 20 verses into Mark's gospel, and already he has taken us through the ministry of John the Baptist, Jesus' baptism, the wilderness trials, and the call of Jesus' first few disciples. Mark begins his gospel with breakneck speed, and he doesn't slow down very much. He is on a mission to get us into the heart of the story. And the heart of the story is that Jesus, God in the flesh, has showed up. In this living, breathing human being, God's presence is very much alive in a new and amazing way. Mark wants us to know, here at the outset of Jesus' public ministry, that Jesus' authority will be a contested authority. Jesus' presence, words, and deeds threaten other forces that claim authority over people's lives. Our gospel reading for this morning begins with Jesus attending worship at a synagogue in Capernaum. Jesus was a good Jew and worshiped at whatever synagogue was close. And in this case, Jesus was teaching as well as worshiping. Jesus was a teacher, a rabbi. Only after years of training could one become a rabbi. And only after many more years would a rabbi begin to speak with authority, with his own voice, that went beyond just repeating what famous rabbis had said many years before. Yet here was Jesus speaking with such authority that it went beyond the scholars of the day. It went beyond what anyone was expecting to hear. It was something new. It was the voice of God. And if anyone missed that fact, it was not the unclean spirit of the story. In the midst of worship came a voice that must have shaken the hearts of all who heard it, shattering the moment with both profound fear and profound truth. The unclean spirit does not want to be anywhere near Jesus. It cannot tolerate Jesus' teaching. It cannot bear such authority, such power, such love. It knows the jig is up, that its time of possessing this man was coming to a close. The unclean spirit knows that Jesus can see it for what it is. But those gathered in the synagogue are oblivious, or perhaps ignoring the unclean spirit's reality. But Jesus knows. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? This unclean spirit senses the distance between his life and Jesus's. His words betray his isolation. It's not, however, just about him. Is he also speaking to all those in the synagogue that day? Does he represent everyone who ever experienced the brokenness of life? He could be the spokesperson for all who feel disconnected from themselves, others, or God. He just might represent the human condition. Behind his question, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" is, I believe, the unspoken longing and hope that Jesus would say, "Everything. I have everything to do with you." We're not so different. Each one of us also longs for that answer because we too know the separation and brokenness of our own lives. Some of us have been trapped in grief or carried the burden of guilt. The truth of those situations often reveals itself in the many personas we wear. At some level, we all project personas or images of how we want others to see us and how we want to see ourselves. Sometimes it's as simple and seemingly silly as saying, I can't go to the grocery store looking like this. I have no makeup on and my hair is a mess. Guilty. Or we smile and say, yes, everything is just fine, and quickly change the subject when the truth is we are hanging on by a thread and not sure how we'll get through the rest of the day. We don't want our life to be seen in its unmade-up condition. We use our personas as masks to hide who we are. The tragedy is that they also hide who we might become. It seems that those masks most often arise from the many voices that live within us. They are the voices of condemnation and guilt, fear, anger, and judgment. They are voices that keep us in constant comparison and competition with others. They are voices demanding perfectionism. The voices are never satisfied. We are never able to do or be enough. Every one of those is a false voice, the voice of the unclean spirit that separates us from our authentic self, from all that we love and all who love us. Have you come to destroy us? That is exactly what Jesus has come for. He has come to destroy and silence our false voices. He casts out all our personas and makes us people with a clean spirit. And ironically, it is the unclean spirit itself who first recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God, preaching in that synagogue in Capernaum, and that in such a presence, everything is exposed for what it is, not just the bad, but the good. So in the middle of an ordinary service of worship, the unclean spirit declares something extraordinary, that this man from Nazareth is more than a teacher, that he is the Holy One of God. It is in this man that God sends the promise that something new is happening. Jesus is no ordinary teacher, no mere liberator of minds. Jesus is here to free a world from all unclean spirits, from all of our false personas. The unclean spirit knows this, or it is afraid of this possibility. Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit to be silent, and instantly it leaves the helpless man. It is then that the people in the synagogue began to have an inkling of who Jesus is. Before, they had seen him as a persuasive teacher, but now they recognized that his authority and power was beyond their experience. And as this passage closes, Jesus' fame spread all across the region of Galilee. Jesus has everything to do with us. He stands before us as the mirror image of who we can become. He calls us into our true self, the one made in the image and likeness of God. He calls us back into the beauty and wholeness of our original creation. Amen.